How many here have studied the love languages? Brittany and Anthony, I know I've done their marriage preparation, so I know they've looked at it. The love languages, they're very, very popular. Gary Smalley, right, if you've gone online, fivelovelanguages.com. And before we show them, we just want to see, and this is the group participation part. So who here can name at least one love language? Yeah. Gift giving, yes. Acts of service. Words of affirmation. Physical touch, yes. Quality time. Yeah, these are all love languages. Words of affirmation, spoken kind things, acts of service is where actions speak louder, receiving gifts, box and a bow, right? Quality time is undivided attention, and physical touch is appropriate touch. So we all have a primary way in which we like to receive love. Like people can communicate love to us, but we each have like a primary way, or and maybe even a secondary way in which we really especially feel and understand that somebody loves us, right? That's the whole theory, and it is true. We teach it, we all see it in relationships, and it's part of every marriage preparation talk that I do. And do you know that there is a sixth love language out there? In fact, God has a love language too. Yeah, it's omitted, this sixth one. It's not taught that often. But it's true. There's a sixth love language out there, and I want to talk about that today. There's a love language out there that lets God especially know that we love him. Anybody want to guess what that is? We're going to show it right up here. Obedience. Let's look at 1 John 5:3. And it says this, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. Now, husbands, let me just stop you and prevent you from having a big old argument on the way home that you cannot win. We've got some students here. Let me stop you from having an argument with your parents that you cannot win. Don't bother trying to add this number six to your list of your primary love language when you talk to your spouse, to your wife, or to your parents, that now obedience is your thing and you're going to want your wives to, this is on your list, or students, that you want your parents to obey, and this is the way that you really want your parents to speak to you, and this is the way that they're really going to let you know that they love you. It's just not going to work. Amen? It's appropriate for God, but not so appropriate for us. But obedience is God's love language, and for God, I want to tell you that love and obedience are two sides of the same coin. And if you look all through scriptures, we'll see this, that love and obedience for God, they are two sides of the same coin. And I want to encourage us all today. This is the message. This isn't a message to like kind of strap something heavy on our back because it's the last thing that we need. But I want to encourage each and every one of us today that we have the ability to speak God's love language. Isn't that awesome? That we were created especially to be able to speak God's love language. And that's important. Have you ever seen relationships, or have you ever been in relationships where the two people just couldn't figure out how to speak the other person's love language? I saw this in my earlier days. I had friends when I was a young man, and they would get girlfriends, and the girl's love language was receiving gifts. And these guys had part-time jobs. Let's say they were late teens, early 20s. And they would get part-time jobs, or they would get entry-level jobs. And these jobs didn't pay all that well, and they didn't get 40 hours a week. And they would try as they could to speak the girl's love language. right? And because they had part-time jobs, they had all sorts of time, so they would try to give the girls quality time, right? They were always hanging around. They were always available. They would try their very, very best. They would try words of affirmation. Oh, baby, you look beautiful today. They would write poems. They would write songs. They would serenade. They would do these things. They would have acts of service. They would wash their cars, clean their houses. They would do all this types of crazy things. Physical touch, no doubt. But the girl was never happy. They just, I don't know. They just couldn't be fluent in their love language. Then they would try, okay, the gift giving, right? So they would empty their pockets. They would empty out their wallets. They would empty out their bank accounts, and they would try a couple of gifts. They'd have a little bit of success, but pretty soon what would happen? They would just run out of money, and they would just go mute. At that point, they couldn't speak the young lady's love language, and what would happen? Well, the girl would go, and they'd get a guy that had a real job and some real bank and could give gifts and could speak her language. And sometimes the girls didn't even really realize what was going on with the love language thing, and the guy would just kind of go around, and he would just try to figure out how to speak this love language, and the girl really couldn't put her finger on it, and there would just be this frustration. And it's not just the girl's fault, because we've all seen guys do the same thing. Like, they want to be loved, and they have a partner, or they have a spouse or something like that, and their partner can really try to affirm their love for them, but just because they can't figure out this whole love language thing, what happens? They just end up frustrated. The love is genuine, but they just have this communication thing, and that's why it's so important. But I want to tell you that the love of God, our relationship with God, is not like that at all. God makes it super clear what he's after, and then he provides everything that we need to speak his language. Aren't you glad for that? He provides everything we need, every word that we need. We can always walk in obedience to God. There's never a situation or a decision that we're faced with that we're forced to misspeak, or that we're going to be lost for words, or that we're going to be mute, or that we aren't going to be able to speak God's love language. He's provided everything that we need. In fact, I'm going to talk about it today a few times. You know that it is our destiny to walk in obedience. And not just part of the time, not just most of the time. But we can do it each and every time. I know what you're thinking. I don't. But the fact that we don't do it every time doesn't mean that we can't do it now. The fact that we haven't doesn't mean we can't do it this next time. We can obey God, and it's our ultimate destiny too. Amen. Have you told God that you love him today? We should wake up excited. I want to tell God that I love him. And I want to speak God's love language today. It should be a joyful, willful, exciting thing that we wake up and we just want to say, God, I love you. Do you love him? Yeah, let's not hold back. Let's just pour it out. And we're going to look at that, man, that we just have the freedom. And we have the ability to let God know in a way that he hears, loud and clear. And I'm excited about that. I really am. Let's look at Deuteronomy. And if I could get a drink of water, that'd be great. I threw that thing out. Well, that thing scares me, but let me have a drink of that. Sorry, honey. Deuteronomy 30. Thanks. That's my love language, acts of service right there. Thank you. Dear Lord, we just pray for understanding on this. Lord, through your word today, just make us free. Well, we know that we're free from sin, but Lord, would you just set us free to walk in obedience? Lord, not under compulsion. You know, that's not what you have in mind. But do that today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 30, we're going to look at 11 through 14. And this is a place, and the Exodus is finished, and God's people are just about to enter into the promised land. Moses is just about to turn over leadership to Joshua. These are kind of the final commands. They're just kind of wrapping things up on the covenant. And Moses says this in verse 11. He says, "Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." Isn't God good? "It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it." Verse 11 and 12, let's talk about that. "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey." God's ways and his precepts and the way to follow him are divine, yet they are not, and even though they are heavenly, they are not so lofty and they are not so high above that they are inaccessible, right? Contrary to some faiths, you don't have to have some especially trained person, some especially qualified person to make it clear. You don't need a guru or a pope to transcend common thought to get there. It's for everybody. And it doesn't take some sort of supreme effort. And it isn't about ascension and becoming some sort of super spiritual person. In fact, it's really more not about ascension. It's about what? Becoming humble before God. Listening to God. And then just saying yes to him. Not becoming super spiritual, but it's about becoming super humble, isn't it? And what Moses was pointing out here is that that some of the people were trying to make things so obscure and so complicated that it was just an excuse for doing the obvious. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in my Christian walk, I've made things just a little bit too complicated. And I get caught in some of these big esoteric questions. And I'll get stuck in that rather than just doing this, the very simple and obvious things that I know God wants me to do. And there's plenty of that. There's plenty of that for us to do, that we don't have to get caught up in these things. But it's right before us. And it can really keep us from speaking God's love language. It keeps us from walking in obedience. In verse 13, it says, "Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us, so that we may obey it." And some might have been saying that, hey, it's not obtainable. It's not attainable right now. That it's got to come after some sort of great effort and some great sacrifice, that it's for the future, or that it's maybe never. It's true that there's some spiritual journeys that you can go on that might just be in vain. But I want to tell you, the spiritual walk with God and getting into God's Word isn't like that. That God's Word is practical, and God's Word has something that you can understand right now, that every person sitting in this room has something that they can get from God's Word today, and they can apply it right now in your next decision, in your next circumstance, in your next challenge. God's Word has something that you can apply right now. That it's not this journey. You don't need somebody to go and find out, and maybe it's for tomorrow, but it's something that you can have right now. In verse 14, "Now the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, and it's always been, hasn't it been, that it's God's intention that it would be something that's in your heart, that it's not something that's rote. It's not just a to-do list. It's not just a job manual, but God's Word is a love story. He wants you to pursue it with your heart. He wants it to be personal and relational. It's not just to be going through the motions and just checking things off on a box. That our pursuit of obedience would be something that would be passionate and joyful and willful. And the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning and throughout our whole Christian walk is, does this describe our pursuit? Of obedience. Maybe the question to ask is, like, is there a pursuit? Of obedience in our lives? Do we begin our day and all throughout the day? Do we just find ourselves in a place where all we can wait to do is just get a moment so we can tell God that we love Him? And we want to tell Him in a way that we know that He'll especially know it. I want to grow in that. You want to grow in that? I'll tell you, every relationship that we have, and especially like in a marriage relationship, guys and gals, if you'll get that right, if you'll understand the love languages, your marriage will be better. I want to tell you that your marriage with God will be better if we can figure it out and if we can tell Him. Because for Him, I want to tell you again that love and obedience are parts, two sides of the same coin. So you might be saying, okay, well, that was the Old Testament, and what about the New Testament? You know what? And that's a great point. And if this is one of your first times at Art and Faith, you may be saying, well, gosh, you know, this sounds like it's kind of legalistic and all that. And if you've been coming for a while, you know that we're definitely a grace-based church. So the thing that we need to say and get very, very clear this morning is that we don't obey to get right with God or earn any type of right standing with God, because that's futile. So we don't obey to get right with God. We obey because we are right with God. Amen? So we don't act right. We don't do the right things to get right with God, but we obey because we are right with God. We are under the new covenant, and it is a covenant where we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, and that's it. But even in the New Testament, you'll see that love and obedience are still two sides of the same coin. And just like God, you know that Jesus has a love language? And what do you think his love language is? Let's look. Go to the next verse, if we could. John 14, 23, 24. And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching." So he just kind of reiterates the same thing. He has the same language. And I want to tell you, at the very center of our Christian faith, of all of our beliefs, at the very center of it all is obedience. Jesus Christ was perfectly obedient. He was absolutely sinless, and because he was absolutely sinless, the core of his obedience was what? Going, obedience that even led to death on a cross. And because of that cross, we have a church. We have saved people. We have a faith. And because of Christ's obedience, we have the hope and we have the assurance that we can be obedient too. Because without that, we were just doomed to disobedience until Christ's perfect obedience. It's, if you want to take notes, I don't have it up here. I'm not going to bring it up in the sermon, but it's in Ephesians 2. You can write it down. Ephesians 2, look at it in verse 1. It says, we were just doomed to obedience, the spirit of the world. But at the very center of our faith is obedience. It's built on obedience. So how do we pursue obedience? How do we look at that? And what's the thing that draws the love language of God near to our lives? Or what draws our lives near to the love language of God? Faith. The same way that we entered into relationship with God, faith. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went. We do the same thing. Faith knows that God is faithful. Faith knows that God is faithful. And I want to tell you, with no faith, there is no obedience. If you look at the lives of or if you look at the exodus of God's people and you look at their journey through the wilderness and all the times that they got things right and all the times that they got things wrong, when were the times that they got things wrong? It's when doubt crept in. When doubt crept in, all of a sudden, they started walking in disobedience. When they were strong in their faith, when they were strong in God, believe that God would do what he said, they were strong in their obedience. And the same thing is true for us. And you can go through all the lives of the people in the Bible and look through, and when you see somebody whose faith, if you look in with the people that God called, and when you see our brothers and sisters and the forerunners in Scripture, and when they were strong in their faith, you'll see that they were strong in their obedience. So it's by faith that we can that we can draw near. We draw our lives near to obedience and draw up alongside of it. By faith, we know that because of what Christ has done, that obedience is our destiny. We have to believe that obedience is our destiny. You were created for obedience. You were created to walk in obedience with God. Every other thought that you can have about it is just off. It's just wrong. It will lead to wrong actions. It will lead to compromise. It will lead to all other sorts of things, of missing it. You have to believe that because of what Jesus Christ has done, that there's no other destiny for you than to obey. There's no other path for you to go than in the very next challenge that you face, the very next circumstance that you face, the very next thought that you have in your heart and in your head, that it's to obey, that it's to do right by God. Period. Do you believe that? Titus 2:11-14. Let's look at that. Let the Word of God really speak to us on this. Titus 2:11. I was looking at this. I don't even know if I've used Titus in a sermon in a long time. It's a great book on leadership. I know I've used it for that, but Titus 2:11-14. And let's really pay attention here, because it's easy when we talk about obedience that we want to talk about legalism, and we want to talk about this burden, and we want to talk about being good little Christians, and we get into this earning thing. We just have it in us. So let's really put on our grace lenses, and let's really see how grace speaks to this whole process, okay, and the freedom that we have in obeying, okay? For the grace of God has appeared, that offers salvation to all people. It teaches, okay, and this is referring to grace. That will just say it. Grace teaches us to say no. You see that? Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and grace teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. It's talking about destiny. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Eager to do what is good. You see, faith knows that we can obey. It's grace working. It's grace that teaches us that to obey. It's grace that enables us to say no. It's not that we just have this willpower and we just tighten it down and we try harder. I want to tell you that is futile. That ends in defeat. You can't do it. It's because of what Christ has done. It's because of what God is doing and working in our lives. It's grace working in our lives. And it's our destiny because of what Christ has done that assures this thing. It's faith that creates, and it's grace that creates an eagerness in us to do good. Where we just have this thing in us that we just get excited to obey. Where it's just this willful, joyful thing to walk in obedience. Am I getting you guys excited? It's a tough job. But I know I'm telling you the right thing. That you can speak God's love language. That it's your destiny. And just because we haven't done it perfectly doesn't mean that we can't do it now. Just because we haven't done it perfectly doesn't mean that with the very next opportunity that we have to make a choice. Because the choices, if we look and you go back and look at Deuteronomy 30, he was actually talking about the choice, right? He was talking about the choice to choose life. And when we choose Jesus and to follow him and his teachings, it's the same choice. It's to choose life. And living under grace, the way that grace works, as we see in Titus, it brings freedom to pursue obedience. And it's not under compulsion. It's not a burden, but it's a wholehearted thing. It's pursue it ardently or passionately. I mean, it means that we're forgiven from our sins, and it means that we are also free not to sin. Right? We're forgiven from our sin, but we're forgiven. We're free not to pursue sin. That's what Ephesians 2 talked about. Every choice, every day, every challenge that we face, it is God's plan that we're holy. He says to be holy as I am holy. It is our destiny. And what I want to do right now is we just want to take some time and we're going to pray for this eagerness that Scripture says. And you might be saying, well, some days I kind of feel cold towards obedience. Like, to be honest with you, sometimes I forget to tell God how much I love him and care. Just like sometimes we can forget to tell our kids, we can forget to tell our parents, we can forget to tell our spouses. It happens. But there's still grace working in our lives, even on the days that we don't feel it. Scripture says that grace is working in our lives, and I believe it. If you believe that, just raise your hand. That grace is working in our lives. There's a power that is working in our lives. Even on our worst day, grace is working in our lives, and that's the truth, regardless of how we feel about it. And I just want to take a moment today. Let's just bow our heads and pray. And pray right now, if you would, that grace would do its work. And Lord, I pray right now that any hindrance in our lives, Lord, that you would just, by the power of your Spirit, would reveal any hindrance to the work of grace in our lives. Lord, and that could be the our flesh. That could be trying to earn right standing with you when you've already given it to us if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That could be wrong thinking about our destiny and our identity. Or that could be the thing that might be in some of us where we obscure clear truths, or we overcomplicate things that you've made simple. Lord, we just pray for a greater realization of the freedom that exists in our relationship with you. Lord, that you so desire that we live our lives that constantly throughout our days that we can tell you that we love you. Lord, we pray for a greater realization of that. Lord, we don't have to become free. We are free. Lord, we're so grateful for that. If it was based on our ability, Lord, we could never attain it. God, I want to specifically pray for anyone in the room that when there's a discussion about obedience or sin, that they feel discouraged. Lord, and we just pray against discouragement right now, and we just pray encouragement. We pray that who you are and what your word says, Lord, is greater than that discouragement. Lord, the truth is that you're greater than any circumstance. That when we ask, Lord, and we come to you earnestly in prayer and for release of sin, release from sin in our lives, that we never have to wonder if you're going to answer that prayer, if we never have to wonder if you're going to be with us when we desire to walk in obedience. And we thank you for that, and we pray for a breakthrough. This morning we pray for the boldness, Lord, for them to be able to discuss it with someone, with their spouses, or with a pastor or a counselor, a close friend. Even just to confess it to you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for your word. We pray for a standard of obedience and the freedom for obedience to rise up in our hearts today. And we say that we love you. We want to say it with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.